You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Morning, Dodge. When markets opened in New York last Thursday, global indices were all down, with the Nikkei closing more than 7% down. Having risen 50% this year alone, by Friday, the Nikkei was back to where it was 2 weeks ago. So was this simply a necessary correction after a prolonged period of gains, or were other factors at play?
Good morning, Xiao. I think the Japanese market was looking for a reason to pull back, and the reason came, but the reason was not expected. That 7% down move came after the Nikkei was up fractionally very early in the day. And it came after China's industrial output was much worse than expected. In fact, it's contracting. And the other factor that affected Tokyo, and it also affects the U.S., was the yield on the 10-year bond rising above psychologically important round percentages. For the Japanese government bonds, it's 1%, and for our U.S. Treasuries, it's 2%. The rise in Japanese bond yields occurred much more rapidly than expected. And at this point, banks are not going to obviously lend much at low interest rates if rates are expected to rise. So Japanese bank stocks and real estate investment trusts were the biggest participants in the Japanese slide.
So in terms of, you mentioned bonds, bond yields have been pretty volatile in Japan of late. So does the BOJ need to be more communicative about the timing of their interventions?
I suspect it should, yes, but it's certainly working a little bit better until, of course, this last week with the U.S., but I'm not sure that's really going to be the only factor. The fact that Abenomics started very recently on a very specific, with support in a very specific, for a very specific reason, that was a fairly significant change. There really wasn't much time for the Japanese to get used to this new move. So I'm not sure what can be done at this point. Yes, I think some communications is going to help. But given the level of the acceleration and changes in the Japanese markets, I think it's just going to be very hard for investors to get used to the slide and then the rise in interest rates. So it's going to be hard, and it's going to take time to work out a much smoother move.
Well, over in the States, Ben Bernanke finally spoke last week. Although he didn't say anything surprising, the S&P 500 closed the week on three consecutive days of losses, losing ground made in the previous week. It's Memorial Day in the States today, so markets are closed. Will it be back to business as usual for stocks for the rest of this week?
Perhaps not this time. Our short-term outlook has turned somewhat negative this past Wednesday after all of our popular averages registered what is called a key reversal day. That's when an index, and in this case all our popular indexes, make a new high, then not only reverse but close down on the day and below the low of the prior session, all with an increase in volume. And this was rather unusual. Although the longer term and the intermediate term trends certainly remain bullish, so we expect corrections to remain rather controlled and more rotational within the market rather than the full market. For example, we're expecting leaders in the sector such as real estate investment trusts and other interest-related stocks to correct. But we'll be watching the falling levels as indication that the pullback is picking up more downside momentum. For the S&P to close below 1634, the Dow below 15,150, the NASDAQ below 3420, and the Russell 2000 969. And really, having very specific levels helps keep the discipline and not to get emotionally involved and to let the market tell us when the pullback is going to be more serious. At this point, we do expect a correction, but it will be controlled and much more rotational in nature.
Well, the labor participation rate is skewing unemployment figures in the U.S., with many opting for education now to improve future employment prospects. So in April, unemployment was 7.5%, the lowest in 4 years. And at the same time, only 63% of people aged over 16 were either in employment or looking for work. So that's the lowest participation rate since May 1979. Apart from unemployment figures, what other indicators will the Fed be looking at when making decisions on tapering?
Well, as we've been talking about this for some time, and now it's happening, and the Fed is going to have to look not only in terms of absolute improvement, but relative improvement. We're not convinced that the absolute number is going to be as important as the amount of people actually participating. And the fact that we have such a low level now, it may mean that the Fed will come in sooner than the market expects. And if that happens, and now Bernanke's talking about 3 to 4 months, we're looking more like 5 to 6 months. But if it happens, then we're probably going to have more volatility, not only in the market, but also in the pattern of the Fed reducing its buybacks on a monthly basis. So if this happens, the fact that the level of unemployment is improving somewhat because of the fact fewer people are participating probably creates more volatility and also moves in both directions.
So there is an expectation that jobs will be there when those taking a break from employment are ready to rejoin the labor market. Will it become an even bigger problem if these adults can't find a job to give them a decent sort of return, so to speak, on the time and money invested in furthering their education?
Yes, Xiao, it certainly could be. And that answer, what we're looking at is the perspective of what may happen in the future based on what's happening today. A lot can happen between now and then, but it's, in some systems you're innocent until proven guilty. It's going to be harder to get a job given the low level of participation at this point unless something happens, but the market's going to have to prove that the jobs will be there. And right now, it's more of a warning sign than anything else.
Well, when the financial crisis began, many were asking what kind of recession we were facing. There was a V-shaped recession down and back up again, the W-shaped double-dip recession, and then there were the U and L-shaped recessions, both with prolonged periods near the bottom. The U-shape recovers to pre-recession levels, while the L-shape's best demonstrated by Japan. So 4.5 years on from Lehman's, volatility is so common, we almost expect it. What shape is this economic recovery looking like to you?
Right now, it's looking like an L with rather than a 90% degree angle, it's going to be more like an 80 to 75%. So we are improving, but very slowly. And when you're improving that slowly, it gets very hard to keep the momentum going. One gets exhausted, and I'm talking about the economy at this point. And so the longer it takes, the harder it's going to be to break out. It's less likely to have a severe return to recessionary levels, but it is less. The market's going to have to be convinced that the improvement will continue, and just after a time, it gets very hard to continue to believe in it.
That was Dodger Dorlan, Chairman and Chief Investment Officer of Lendo & Fuse Capital Managers in New York, on this morning's Market Watch.
BFM 89.9, the Business Station.